But I don't do it too often, but I'm going to start my message with a video this morning. And so just sit back and relax and enjoy the video. I think Maddie has been all over the place this morning with worship and going off script, and she's trying to keep up with everything. But if that is, there we go. All right. Okay. So I don't know how long we keep, let that thing going. I brought my phone up here with me, so it's probably going to help if everybody takes their phone. If you're on Wi-Fi, just take your phone and shut the Wi-Fi off, because our Wi-Fi, we're probably not drinking from the fire hose this morning. It's probably a garden hose, right? Probably maybe even like those lines that go into a refrigerator. Crazy thing about Wi-Fi, did you know that? It'll go here in a bit. Did you know that that Amos Yoder, he's not in here. I'm going to call him out. Amos is gone. But he can go, he has the ability to go on to our Wi-Fi here at church and see who's on Wi-Fi. And sometimes when this microphone crackles, when mine is singing or even when Andre was talking, it was crackling a little bit, he blames that on too many people on Wi-Fi, because our Wi-Fi, I guess, is not a fire hose, and it pulls off of the same frequency as the microphones. Now, I don't have that kind of education that's above my pay grade, so I can't. Okay, we might have to check the Wi-Fi itself. Yeah, it'll go here in a bit. And I also brought my phone up here with me just to do this demonstration, so I knew if Amos was here, he'd probably be sending me stupid texts right now, because he does that often. The truth is, folks, I don't know, we could sit here. So this video right here is 10 hours long. This is not a joke. I'm done kidding around. This video is 10 hours, and Maddie can show you. How long do you want to watch it? You can turn your Wi-Fi back on. A couple weeks ago, there's a cricket up here. Right there's a cricket. John the Baptist would have ate that. They are high in protein. Did you know you can get protein shake, protein mix that is made out of crickets? That is the truth. Anyway, a couple weeks ago, and I have my phone up here with me. I don't do this often. So a couple weeks ago during worship, I kept seeing that symbol. And I didn't know what it meant, but I kept seeing it. And then I got the word refresh. Amen. Refresh. Amen. And I can tell you, so what happens if that, one of the most frustrating things is if you have a funny YouTube video that you really want to show your friends and you tell them, now watch this, and you're out in the country, let's say you're between Middlebury and Michigan down here by the toll road, and you want to show them a video on your phone, you will see that symbol. And it is one of the most frustrating things, because you're like, no, wait a minute, maybe this corner, it's got a little bit more metal to it. And it's not, see? That's what happened.
Some of you new people will never come again.
And we move around and we try to get the best reception we can. And sometimes when you're on Facebook and you're like, these are, nothing against any of my Facebook friends. I don't look at it very often anyway, but sometimes your stories are boring. Let's just put it out there. And then I'm going, I need something new, and you pull it down, and it's refreshing. And so when I saw this symbol, now this is probably what people would call the loading symbol, but I'm telling you, sometimes you don't get good service, and you move around, and I'm telling you, When I saw this symbol and I got the word refresh, I felt like God was telling me, He said, I've got the 5G. I've got all the power. I've got all the bars that you need. Sometimes you have to lay down the device and pick up the device. Because God wants to connect with you. And sometimes we're trying to connect in a total way that he cannot connect with us. And so laying down the device and picking up the word sometimes is your best thing. Or trying to get to a higher area. I'm telling you, sometimes it's not how high you get. Sometimes it's how low you get before you connect with God. And this morning I got the word refresh. Refresh. And there's some people, now if you came forward, this is no judgment against you. The Holy Spirit wants you to walk in freedom. And he wants you to have a connection with him. And this refresh, this loading symbol, can go on and on in your life until you get to a point in your life where you lay down the device and you pick up the device and you say, God, I want a connection with you. I want to hear the voice of the Spirit in my life. And I want clear and true direction. And so I have a message. The last three messages that I have preached have been out of Acts, okay? I'm not done in Acts yet. Praise the Lord. Acts is full. I believe the Acts is a great picture of what the church should be and what the church should operate like. And I want you to know this morning, a lot of this stuff wasn't planned except for I had this word burning in my heart. And Acts chapter 10 is a story, and I say this every, they're all my favorite stories, okay? But Acts chapter 10 is a pretty crazy story. But there's a word, so I had to look up the word refresh, and I found the word refreshing, and that is in Acts chapter 3, and you find this word one time in the Bible, in the New Testament. And I'm going to read, before we go to Acts chapter 10, you can actually go to Acts chapter 10, put your finger in there, and then I'm going to read this verse out of Acts chapter 3. And Peter is talking, after this is in 3, where Peter has healed a lame man through the power of God inside of him. He has, and I preached on that message here a while back, but Peter has healed a lame man, and the people are, it's almost like they're worshiping Peter, and Peter says, why do you look at us like we've done something? It's the power of God inside of us that has healed this man. And then Peter just starts preaching to them, and in verse 19, and this is what I want to get, he says, repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that the times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. That'll preach right there. The times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. So repent means turn from, and be converted means turn to. So it's this idea that even if there's something in your life, if there's a ball and chain in your life, there's something that a believer has to do, and that is he has to turn from and turn to. Repent and convert. Repent and convert. Healing the land, the sacred assembly, that the whole thing, I keep thinking that. I'm thinking repent and convert. You turn from and you turn to. And it says that your sins may be blotted out. Did you know that your sins will not be blotted out until the time of repentance comes? That's the scripture. So that the times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. And that word refreshing, it is found one time in the New Testament. It is number 403, if you don't believe me, in the Strong's. And it literally means this. Recovery of breath or revival. Amen, Seth. Recovery of breath or revival. And I feel like even with where the worship team, with what Elmina was saying this morning, what John brought, there's a time that we've had words that have come to the church or personally to us, and we hear the words like circumcision. We hear the words like you're ready to give birth and go out and go forth and all this stuff. You're going, Lord, what am I supposed to be doing? And he wants us to connect with him first. We have to hear the voice of the Spirit of God before we go out, before we go forth. And this circumcision, we had a word about circumcision. He sees the resident prophet in church said he sees people holding out their hearts, and I believe that's part of the circumcision. And this refreshing is a recovery of breath. And there's a time in our life where sometimes we have to just sit back just a little bit and say, God, I want you to lead me. I want you to speak to me. I want to hear your voice clearly. I want to just catch my breath, please. Revival. And there's a common here, so I'm going to finish 19 and 20. And it says, and that he may send Jesus Christ, who was preached to you before, whom heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of his holy prophet since the world began. Now, the reason there's a comment there, and so I have to finish this. This is a little bit, Lord help us. This is a little bit off subject, but I'm going to take a moment to teach just a little bit here. It says this, that he may send Jesus Christ, whom was preached to you before, whom heaven must receive until the times of restitution. Jesus had to be received into heaven until the times of restitution. Now, the New King James says until the times of restoration. That time of restoration is a reconstitution of a theocracy. There's a day coming where Jesus is going to come back and he's going to reinstitute the theocracy. And for those of you that don't know what that means, that means that a theocracy is a government that is divinely empowered. They do not rule unless they are instructed by the divine power of God. There will no more be a democracy where theos kratos, that is a theocracy. Demo kratos is where the people rule. But there's going to be a time again when Jesus comes back where God will rule. Every principality, every kingdom, every government, every president, every speaker of the house, every prince, every queen, every king is going to be silenced. And God is going to come back and he's going to say, you shut up, you sit down, you're out of bounds, you listen to me. Because Jesus Christ will come and he will rule and reign again and he will reinstitute a true theocracy. But it says that there's a time, right here Peter said, there's a time of refreshing that is going to come first from the Lord. You want to know what revival means? I have this picture of revival, and the crazy thing is, and some of this stuff means a lot more to me than it means to you because it happened to me. When I think of revival, I think of a tent like we have set up outside. And I think of just a whole bunch of people coming in there, worshiping and praising God. But what happens when they leave the revival? What happens the week after, or the week after, or the week after? All of a sudden, it's time for another revival, right? This fell out of my Bible, and I don't even know when I wrote it. It's yellow. It wasn't white to begin with. It's not that old. You can laugh. Revival is a noun. It means this. It is an improvement in the condition or strength of something. An instance of something becoming popular or active or important again. At one time, I can remember when I became born again, the things of God were more important to me than anything else in my life. And there have been times in my life where I go back and I go, God, I just wish I had that fire again. I wish I had that fire where I would come to a place with a group of people and I could pray for 2 hours at a time. Because I was so intent on learning the ways of God and knowing what God wanted me to do and learning which way to walk. And I believe personally this word is for me. This word is for the layman household. I believe that personally revival is going to start in my home. Where the things that used to be important will be important again. Where the things that used to have eminence in my life will once again be number one on my list. Seen as the restoration of the church itself to a vital and fervent relationship with God after a period of moral decline. I can tell you that the nation that we're living in, I can tell you that the world that we're living in is in moral decline. We are morally blind and spiritually bankrupt, and we don't know what to do. And what we do is we try to find it ourselves. We try in our own humanism, we try to find happiness and peace, and it's going to come from the presence of God, because that's what the Word says. The refreshing will come from the presence of God. You want revival? You got to get in the presence of God. And I'll tell you, it'll start in my home. It's going to start in your home. That's where revival starts. Revival isn't just a whole lot of people coming to Christ at one time. It can be. But revival is when the church takes the things that were important at one time and they become number one again. That's revival. I don't know. Maybe I'll just have to wait till some other day to preach this. Refresh. Let's go to Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10, we're going to cut some things out, but here we go. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of what was called the Italian regiment, a devout man and one who feared God with all his household, who gave alms generously to the people and prayed to God always. And it says, about the ninth hour of the day, he saw clearly in a vision an angel of God coming to him and saying, Cornelius. And when he observed him, he was afraid, and he said, what is it, Lord? And he said to him, your prayers and your alms have come up for a memorial before God. Don't believe that just because your prayer hasn't been answered yet, it doesn't mean that God hasn't heard it. Amen. Some of us in here are waiting for a prayer to be answered. We're waiting for answered prayer. It doesn't mean that God hasn't heard it. It doesn't mean that it hasn't come up for a memorial before God. But I can tell you, if you go back and read about Daniel, we could go to a lot of places, but Daniel will tell you how Michael the archangel came to Daniel and he said, I couldn't get through to you because I was fighting with the prince of Persia for 21 days. There's a spiritual force that is fighting against the forces, the spiritual and good, how do I want to say it, the kingdom of God. There's a dark force and there's a force of light that are fighting against each other. And us as children of God, we're actually trespassers into the kingdom of darkness. Did you know that? We are trespassers into the kingdom of darkness. And so if you get hit by a dart, if you get hit by an arrow, don't be surprised. Because if you are on the front lines for God, you're going to get hit a lot more. Keep praying. And this is the angel of the Lord said to Cornelius. He said, look, your prayers have been heard. We see everything that you're doing in your life. You're giving alms to the poor. We see that you're a good man. We see that you're walking out what you know about God. We see that you're doing the right thing. But God came to Cornelius for one reason, and that was to tell him you need something more. Ha ha. You guys are being set up. Now send men to Joppa and send for Simon, whose surname is Peter. He is lodging with Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the sea. I'll keep going. I was going to talk about a tanner, but never mind that. He will tell you what you must do. And when the angel who had spoke to him had departed, Cornelius called for two of his household servants and a devout soldier from among those who waited on him continually. And when he had explained all these things, he sent them to Joppa. He said, the Spirit of God has spoken to me, or the angel of the Lord. He didn't even know about the Holy Spirit. Cornelius did not know about the Holy Spirit. He was a Gentile. Let's just put it out there. He was not of the in crowd. He was not a Jew. He was not those of higher education. He was just a Roman soldier. He was a centurion, had 100 men that served under him. He knew what power was, but he knew how to serve God. The angel said, send men to Joppa. Now, if you hear the Spirit of God clearly, if you hear the angel of the Lord clearly, if you hear God to speak to you, he will never send you on a wild goose chase. Now, there are some people around you that will tell you that. If you tell them what the Spirit of God told you, they will probably say that's a wild goose chase. It takes faith to hear the voice of God. It says, the next day as they went on their journey, they drew near the city, and Peter went up on the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. That's where this thing with refresh started for me. When Peter went up on the housetop to pray, you know, Peter had walked with Jesus. Peter had been filled with the Holy Spirit. Peter had the anointing. He had everything that you think Peter would need, and he went up on this housetop to pray at about the sixth hour. He had to get away from everything. He had to put the device down and go and connect one more time with the Spirit of God because he knew that there was mission in front of him. But God had something in mind when Peter went up to this housetop. Did you know that you can be filled with the Holy Ghost and still have a religious mindset? Sorry. Am I meddling? I felt a tingle in my fingers. He became very hungry and he wanted to eat. And while they made ready, he fell into a trance. And he saw heaven opened and an object like a great sheet bound at the four corners descending to him and let down to earth. And in it were all kinds of four-footed animals of the earth, wild beasts and creeping things and birds of the air. And a voice came to him and said, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." And Peter said, "Not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything common or unclean." I have never touched God. Jesus is my witness. I walk with him. I've never touched anything unholy or impure. I've done it all just right, God. I know what it should look like to be a Christian. And a voice spoke to him a second time and said, "What God has cleansed, you must not call common." Peter had a mindset that had to be destroyed because Jesus can cleanse anything. Not just about anything. He can cleanse anything. I could go down the rows of this church and I could point to probably every one of you and you would say, if God can save me, he can save anybody. If God can take a drunk and change my life and fill me with the Holy Ghost and give me the spirit of prophecy, he can do that for you. Don't put the Spirit of God in a box. But Peter, with this religious mindset because of where he came from, said, "I've never touched anything impure or unholy." And there are times in my life where I'll be walking down the street and I'll see somebody and immediately this Pharisaic spirit will rise up inside of me and I'll judge people on the spot. And it's not right. Because what God has cleansed, you'd better not call common. God can take the filth of this earth and make it the wisdom of the world. He can cleanse anything. He can cleanse you. He can change your heart in an instant. God can. And Peter had to have a mindset destroyed when he was up there on that rooftop and God spoke to him. And the reason I want to bring this out is because sometimes we think we have it all figured out. Sometimes we think that we will load this thing by ourselves. We will connect by ourselves. If I just do the right thing every day, it'll all be fine. But God had mission for Peter, and he had to have this religious mindset destroyed first so that he could use him, because there was another man 39 miles away praying to the same God who didn't have what Peter had yet. And this man needed to be refreshed. What was that refreshing? I'm glad that you asked. So these men came from Caesarea. Now, the Strongs will say Caesarea, and I always said Caesarea, so correct me if I'm wrong. I was afraid if I said Caesarea, Jacob would think quesadilla and get hungry. So I'm calling it Caesarea. And Peter wondered with himself about what this vision meant. He said, "God, what are you trying to tell me?" And there was a knock on the door. And these people asked for Simon Peter. We're going to go through this a little bit short. And Peter thought about the vision, and then the Spirit said to him, this is in verse 19, "Behold, there are three men out there, and they are looking for you. Arise and go down, and go with them, and do not doubt anything, for I have sent them." Peter went down to the men who had been sent to him and from Cornelius, and he said, "Yes, I am he whom you seek. For what reason have you come?" And they said, "Cornelius the centurion, a just man, one who fears God and has good reputation among all the nations of Jews." Listen to that. He's a Gentile. He has a good reputation with the Jews. This man is doing everything right. He's living the gospel. "But he was divinely instructed by a holy angel to summon you to his house and to hear words from you." Then Peter invited them in and he lodged them. On the next day, Peter went with them, and some brethren from Joppa accompanied him. Now, here we go. Following day, they entered Caesarea. Now Cornelius was waiting for them and had to called together his relatives and close friends. Cornelius heard the angel of the Lord speak, and he said, something good has to come out of this. Something is going to happen. I'm going to call my friends, and I'm going to call my relatives. I'm going to bring everybody that I know. I'm going to bring everybody that I care about. I'm going to bring everybody that I think needs to hear this word and be refreshed. He knew that he had been sent for a man of God. And as Peter was coming, Cornelius met him and fell down on his feet, and he worshiped him. Peter lifted him up, saying, stand up, I myself am also a man. Verse 27 says, and as he talked with him, he went in and found many who had come together. Then he said to them, you know how unlawful it is for a Jewish man to keep company with or go to one of another nation. Peter was of the Jewish descent. Peter had clout with the Jews, and it was against Jewish law to even have be in the company of Gentiles. Then he says this, but God has shown me that I should not call any man common or clean. Therefore I came without objection as soon as I was sent for. I asked then, for what reason have you sent me? I just want to say this. Religious mindsets will squash the Spirit of God, because they will keep us from seeing people for who they really are. Did you know that the word whosoever in John 3:16 means whosoever? That's what it means. Whosoever. For God so loved the world. So loved the world that whosoever should believe in him will not perish but have everlasting life. This whosoever just unfurls a banner for the world. 7 billion people in the world right now. I don't know how many have died before this, but they are all whosoevers. And everybody that you meet on the streets, everybody that you meet at work, everybody in your family is a whosoever. And for us to look at them as uncommon or unclean because the Holy Spirit can come in and change lives in an instant is selfish. And a religious mindset will do that. And I'm guilty of that. I'll just tell you. I'm guilty. Not always, but sometimes I'm going, I don't even know if that's worth my time. 39 miles from Caesarea to Joppa. It's hard for us to drive 39 miles with it. I don't know if they had a camel or a donkey. I don't know if they walked. You know how hard it is for us in our day to get into a truck and drive 39 miles? Because the Spirit told us to? We find every opportunity that we can to tell them that I haven't heard right. Amen. Cornelius told Peter what had happened. I'm going to skip some things. We're going to go down to verse 33. So I sent you immediately, and you have done well to come. Now, therefore, we are all present before God to hear all things commanded you by God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, right? Romans chapter 10. Now, I'm just going to read this message, this sermon that Peter preached, and then we're going to be done. But what had to happen here was this Cornelius guy was living his life the way that he thought was right, and he was living it right according to God. He was giving alms. He was helping the poor. He was praying always to God. His prayers had come as a memorial before God. If you read in Revelations, I believe it's chapter 5, where it says that the bowls of incense were the prayers of the saints in the throne room of heaven, right? And so he was doing everything right, but when I read this story, it kind of hit me that he had everything but one. He needed this refreshing. He needed one more thing. And I'm telling you, as a life of a Christian, you need the same thing that Cornelius got. I'm going to read this sermon that Paul preached. I don't know how big this room was. I don't know how many people were in there. I know they were relatives and friends of this man named Cornelius. Something happened. Crazy. I'm just going to read this sermon that Peter preached. Then Peter opened his mouth and he said, in truth, I perceive that God shows no partiality. That'll preach. But in every nation, whoever fears him and works righteousness is accepted by him. You haven't done enough bad in your life to not be accepted by Jesus Christ. Isn't that awesome? You haven't done enough bad. You can't do enough good to receive him, but you haven't done enough bad to not be accepted by Jesus Christ. You can come tell me everything that you did. I don't care. I wouldn't. The word which God sent to the children of Israel, preaching peace through Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. That word you know, which was proclaimed throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they killed by hanging on a tree, whom God raised up on the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but to the witnesses chosen before God, even to us who ate and drank with him after he arose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that it is he who was ordained by God to be judge of the living and the dead. Just because you have the Holy Spirit in your life doesn't mean you're a judge of other people. To him all the prophets witness that through his name whoever believes in him will receive the remission of sins. Whoever believes in Jesus Christ will receive the remission of sins. That's the word. That's truth. You can't tell anybody that you've done too much bad not to receive the remission of sins. You can't tell anybody that you can be like Cornelius and do enough good in your work to receive the kingdom of God. To do enough good or do enough works in your life to receive the kingdom of God. Now listen to this. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon those who heard the word. We have all these things set up in church, and I'm going to tell you that you can call us what you want, but the Pentecostals are probably guilty of some of this because we believe that the Holy Spirit should be on everybody, and we lay hands on them, and we go to a great extent and different recipes or different practices that you may so that people would receive the Holy Spirit. But here's another one where Peter was just speaking the gospel, speaking the word of God, and the Holy Ghost fell on these Gentiles. The Spirit of God will come. He is looking for an open door. The Spirit of God is looking for a heart to enter. And that's why if this, you take this device, you lay it down, you open this device, that's why the hearts are being held out. Like Prophet John said, the hearts are being held out. And there's this oil of anointing coming onto every heart. The device has to be open so the Spirit of God can come in because he's looking for people that are willing to inhabit him. The Spirit of God needs to be living inside of us so that we can walk in the fullness of who he's called us to be. We can be a Cornelius. We can do the right thing. We can give alms to the poor. We can pray always. But if you don't have the Spirit of God, you know there's one more thing missing. The Holy Ghost in your life. Because what happens was the Holy Spirit fell, and those of the circumcision who believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also. This pouring out means there's a gushing out. The Spirit of God is gushing out. He's looking for willing vessels to inhabit. Is your device open? Are you looking for a new Wi-Fi? Are you trying to refresh it to see if it plays? The Spirit of God will bring you revelation. He will bring you understanding. He will bring the Word of God alive. And the refreshing will come from spending time, just like Peter said in Acts chapter 3, from spending time in his presence, in his Word, and by the power of the Holy Spirit. I can't emphasize it enough. According to Scripture, you can do everything right. You have to have the Spirit of God. The gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also, for they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then Peter answered and he said, "Can anyone forbid water that these should not be baptized who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have?" Oh, wait a minute. The Holy Spirit fell on them before they were baptized? That'll wreck some mindsets. "Can anyone forbid water that these should not be baptized?" And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord, and they asked him to stay for a few days. I'm going to stop. This morning, I just want you to know a little bit how me and my wife prepared for church. She said, "It's time that we leave it up to the Holy Spirit." I said, "I agree." She had a worship set, but I said, "You do what you need to do and whatever the Holy Spirit says." And she said, "If you need to interrupt me, you interrupt me." And I said, "Father, I wouldn't do that." And I had this burning, but I said, "I have no notes." That's a good thing, because if I had to get through my notes, the chicken would burn. Actually, Brother Matt, can we give Matt a round of applause for making chicken? And whoever helped you, I don't know. But that's how we prepared for today. Here's what I do with the word. I'm not anything greater than anybody else. But I take the word. I took this word. I took chapter 10 and I just marinate in it. I told Rick this morning, I said, "It's been marinating for a while. I think it's ready for the grill." But you marinate in the word. You let the Spirit of God speak to you. Some people are waiting for a audible voice to speak to them. Some people are waiting for God to knock them down. God can speak to you through the Bible, through His word. Pick it up and read it. And so this morning, I just, the word was refresh. And I'm gonna ask you to stand. We're going to do a song, and then I'm going to hand it over to Pastor Gordy. But I'm going to ask you to stand, because I believe that the time of refreshing for the church is here. I believe that. I believe that the time for us to consider the things that were once important in the eyes of God have to be number one again. I got Pastor Gordy coming. Yeah, so what we're going to do is we're going to, and I agree with Pastor Gordy, what I want to do this morning is actually in our seats. This is, look, just because Peter did it doesn't mean we can do it every time or it can happen. But we have all these, sometimes we try to manufacture what the Holy Spirit did over in this church or what the Holy Spirit did over in Africa. We're going, people are being raised from the dead over there. I want to see it. I do. I want to see it here in America. Amen. We live in a total different culture. And what we try to do is we try to manufacture. We try to come up with how the Spirit worked over here. We try to do it over here. This morning, I just want to leave it up to the Spirit of God. I want you to open your heart and your mind. I want you to open a door so that the Spirit of God can come in. If you want to be refreshed, I want you just to raise your hands. And that through the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Spirit of God could fall on whoever He wants to. The Spirit of God there's no partiality with God. He doesn't see a man or a woman. He says, there is no partiality. I perceive there is no partiality with God. There is no man above another man. There is no woman above another woman. We're all vessels for the Holy Spirit. I'm praying, Spirit of God, this morning You would fall. I pray, Holy Spirit, You would enter the hearts and the minds of everyone who is willing. I'm praying for a refreshing and a renewing of the Holy Spirit. Titus 3:5 said, it's not by the works of righteousness that we have done. There's not enough good that we can do, just like Cornelius, but it's by the washing of the word. It's by the regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit in our life. The washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost. Some of us just need a renewing. Some of us need a refreshing. Some of us need actually the baptism of the Holy Spirit, because it says out of your belly will flow rivers of living water. So Spirit of God, I'm praying. I pray, Spirit of God, you'd have your way. I pray, oh God, you would fall on whomever you want to. You would fall on whomever is willing. And I thank you for it, God, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
You are my strength. Strength like no other. Strength like no other. Reaches to